You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
The other day, I downloaded a new app on my phone. It's got all sorts of cool features on it, from games to news articles to discounts on various things. Now, before I tell you which app it is, you need to promise me you're not going to laugh. I'm not really sure how I'm going to enforce this particular agreement, but we're just going to have to use the honor system here, okay? It's the AARP app. Yes, the American Association of Retired Persons. I know what you're thinking now. John, you might look, act, dress, smell like you're 65 years old, but you're still only 45. Why join the AARP? Yes, they do say that you have to be 50 to get the full benefits of an AARP membership, but there are no restrictions saying that I can't join now, and there are some cool things available here. They've got retirement tips, which you're never too young to be taking retirement seriously. They've got games on here like trivia and crossword puzzles. I love a good crossword puzzle. I used to do the USA Today one all the time back when people read newspapers. And there are some neat articles to read also. Browsing the top stories today, I came across some real gems like Lost in the Parking Lot, 10 Dementia Warning Signs, and my personal favorite, What Your Poop Can Tell You. This is the app custom designed for my personal interests, if there ever was one. Well, we definitely seem to have hit that point in the year when there are more games releasing than I could possibly have time for. This past weekend, I downloaded the new Mario v. Rabbids game. The reviews for Pentiment have been outstanding, so I know I need to check that out. And eventually, I'm going to need to set aside 50 hours for God of War Ragnarok. Last week, though, I spoke about how Marvel Snap had fit into my life perfectly with its quick 5-minute rounds of gameplay. And this week, I've discovered another game which just hit Game Pass and is another great example of a game that you can play a few rounds of at the end of the night, and it won't demand that you spend hours playing at a time, even though you may end up wanting to. And that game is Vampire Survivors. I'd been hearing about this game for a few months now over on the Nextlander podcast. In particular, Alex has been singing its praises. But as someone who doesn't play PC games, I thought it would be one of those games that I would only admire from afar. Thankfully, though, it's now available on Xbox Game Pass, so I've been able to finally play it for myself and see what all of the hype is about. What is it about this NES-looking little indie game that has people going nuts and saying it is one of the best games of the year? When I loaded it up, my first thought was that the game looks and feels a lot like an old-school arcade title. Imagine something that seems a bit like Gauntlet, but with more of a Castlevania type of aesthetic going on. Just looking at the game, you maybe would be excused for dismissing it, as it certainly isn't the most eye-catching game at first glance. But you would be smart not to judge this book by its cover, because behind that simple appearance is a hell of a good game. You start things off by choosing one of two starting characters, with others becoming available to choose the more you play the game. Each character has a bit of a unique style with a different starting weapon or ability and different perks. don't worry too much though about, you know, picking the right character at the beginning, because you can jump around between rounds, you know, between the different characters to find the one that you like best, that really feels right to you. After you choose your character, you're dropped into a large, pretty empty play area where enemies immediately begin coming at you from all directions. Again, the similarity to Gauntlet is pretty immediate. The interesting thing, though, is the only thing in Vampire Survivors that you actively control is the movement of your character. All of the attacking happens automatically, so you are just positioning yourself around the level to line up attacks and avoid the enemies. No button mashing for these arthritic fingers. As you move about the field killing bats and skeletons and vampires, they'll drop gems and coins for you to collect. The gems serve as experience points, and they fill up a meter at the top of the screen. And when that meter reaches the top, you level up and get to choose from a selection of new weapons or abilities to stack onto your existing ones. The coins are used in between games to buy permanent enhancements to your character, like extra health or the ability to earn more experience per round. The game is simple, but it has this intensity that has you gripping your controller as more and more enemies fill the screen. It builds and builds with each new level as you add to their arsenal, until it turns into this zen-like experience. As the screen fills, it gets harder and harder for you to maneuver, so you need to be thoughtful about which weapons you're going to equip, which are the most effective, and not to back yourself into too much of a corner and get trapped. If you can last long enough to really accumulate a killer arsenal, you can reach a point where you don't even need to do much more than stand still as a whirlwind of attacks creates this kaleidoscope of death all around you. There's just something so satisfying and primordial about the sensation it gives you. It's like gaming joy in its most pure form. The more you play, you'll unlock those perks as well as new characters and levels, meaning that there's plenty to keep you coming back. I'm still relatively early in my Vampire Survivors career, but I can tell it's going to be the kind of game that I come back to again and again when I have a few minutes to spare. This week saw the announcement of the nominees for this year's Game Awards, which, of course, means that Twitter has been even more of a reprehensible place to hang out than usual, which is really saying something lately. Here's the deal. The Game Awards are not some definitive validation from on high, which passes judgment on all the games and determines the true worth of the entertainment you enjoy. It's a 3-hour infomercial. It's a holiday catalog disguised as a prestige event with some cool musical performances scattered about. I'm not saying that as an insult. I'm sure I'll probably watch it, and I'll get excited about a couple of the announcements and complain about how long it is later. That's just what it is. And whether or not your favorite game is nominated does not invalidate how great you think it is or the time you spent with it. And it's certainly not worth starting some Twitter war over. Unless the day comes when only 6 video games are released in a year, it would be quite literally impossible for them to create a list of nominees that satisfies everybody. Actually, you know, we might actually get to a point where that happens one day. Let's see. What would the 6 games be? There'd be Call of Duty, Madden, probably Pokemon, maybe an Assassin's Creed, FIFA, what is that, 5? And we'll throw in a token indie game just for some variety. Are there ways that they could choose nominees better? Absolutely. The current method that they choose is pretty busted. But at the end of the day, who cares? We don't need Jeff Keighley's validation to know that the new Kirby game was awesome or that Tunic had incredible art design. We'll celebrate and be happy when the games we love get some recognition. And if they don't, we still know in our hearts how awesome they are. Speaking of validation, I want to take 2 seconds at the end of the show just to call out a couple of people. I really appreciate everybody that's been checking out the show, listening to the show, giving feedback. Couple of guys, though, that have been real supportive and encouraging are Estuardo Zenteno, EZE, and Blaze Knight. You guys have been awesome and just great guys and great supporters of what I do going back years, and it means a lot to me that you guys are checking out the new show. So just thank you for being awesome. Thank you for supporting what I do. It means a lot to me, so I appreciate that. Thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. You can catch new episodes every Thursday wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget, please, to subscribe and leave a review. And you can follow us on Twitter while there is still a Twitter. It is at MidlifeSQ. I also recently signed up for that Mastodon site. And we're on Instagram, too. So, you know, just in case Twitter explodes, we're other places, too. Until next week, stay positive and keep playing.